Hey, welcome to Fighting Crime. This is the episode on Ed Gein. Ed Gein is one Looney Tune mofo. This guy, just a quick little brief thing here. Born 1906 and died July 26, 1984. Also known as the Butcher of Plainfield or the Plainfield Ghoul. Basically, this guy was, he inspired the Bates Motel movie, Psycho. Obviously, the TV show, too. They kind of loosely based it on him because the character in that series, which was really good, the Bates Motel series was really good. It really wasn't like Ed Gein. But Leatherface was based on Ed Gein. Probably like a more wacky, crazy version of. I mean, Ed Gein was just kind of a normal guy in society, but by himself, he was just a fruit nut. I mean, you know, you see him around town, he'd be just like a normal guy. You'd eat dinner with him. It's like just like a normal guy, quiet guy, but basically pleasant to be around. And there's interviews where people, you know, have said, you know, Eddie was just a, you know, regular old guy. You know, you'd never know. You know, but behind closed doors, I mean, obviously we'll go in depth on it a little bit here. But behind closed doors and his home life and his family life was just upside down, man. Upside down, you know, with his parents. You know, as times went on, things just got worse and worse with his parents and in child life, stuff like that with his, I believe his brother passed away at a young age, stuff like that. But Edward Theodore Gein. I believe it's Gein, but I tend to call him Gein because another fun little nugget is a song by Mudvayne. I think it was 1997 the album came out. LD50 is the album name for Mudvayne, and the song is called Nothing to Gein. Spelled just like Ed Gein's name, but obviously the song is sang as Nothing to Gein. So, because obviously this guy's, you know, it's nothing to gain now. It's all over. You know, it's, but if you take a minute and go look at the lyrics of that song, it's a great description of, it gives a good picture of what craziness was going on in this guy's head towards the end of his life before jail time anyway. Yeah, like a little overview here. Also known as the Plainfield Ghoul, was an American murderer, suspected serial killer, and body snatcher. Yeah, this guy went as deep as to, like, go to cemeteries and like, rob graves. You know, and people wonder, how many people did he kill in order to make, like, he would make a belt, a full belt with women's nipples all the way around it. You know, he just did that kind of weird, sick shit. You know, he would make lampshades out of human skin. People wonder, well, how did he do so many of those? Well, yeah, he was a grave robber and had exhumed corpses from local graveyards and fashioned trophies, keepsakes from their bones and skin. He also confessed to killing two women, tavern owner Mary Hogan in 1954, at the ripe age of 52. If I'm reading that right. No, wait a minute. No, younger. Born in 1906, that happened in 1954. So what, that makes him 48, okay. He makes him my age, jeez. I'm still not crazy enough to do that. and the other one was hardware store owner Bernice Warden, which was the one that he basically made Leatherface out of. And he took her down in 1957. But he made that Leatherface mask out of Bernice's face. And he was found unfit to stand trial and confined to a mental health facility, which I'm really upset that they're closing. They've closed a lot of those mental health facility because I think we have some people that could fill those places back up. And you know what I'm talking about. Not who, but you know the types. you can't fix everything with drugs, I'm sorry. But he was judged competent to stand trial. Oh, by 1968, he was judged competent to stand trial. He was found guilty of murder of Warden, remanded to a psychiatric institution. He died at Mendota Mental Health Institute of Respiratory Failure, July 26, 1984, at age 77. He is buried next to his family in the Plainfield Cemetery in now unmarked grave. His father, which his mother hated, you know, later on in life, you know, as time went on, he was just, you know, he had heart failure caused by alcoholism at age 66. Henry and Ed began doing odd jobs around town to help cover living expenses. This is after Dad owned a little grocery store, but he eventually sold the grocery store and bought a big, good-sized farm, and that was the Gain family residence until, you know, till the end, basically. Till Dad died, Mom died, you know, basically all of them died, but Ed was the last one, and it just went completely nuts. Odd jobs around town to help cover living expenses. Brothers were generally considered reliable and honest as by residents of the community. While both worked as handyman, Ed also frequently babysat for neighbors. Imagine that, having a serial killer for a babysitter. At least pre being a serial killer, but my gosh. He enjoyed babysitting, seemed to relate more easily to children than adults. It goes to show you the beginning of the just nutcaseness. Henry began dating a divorced mother of two and planned to move in with her. He worried about his brother's attachment to their mother. Yeah, Ed Gein got really attached to his mom, and his mom was just a militant. I mean, she gave any kind of Christian person a bad name because she was just militant with it and was, like I said, that Mudvayne tune would really point out just the lyrics will kind of point out how his mom talked to him and treated him. You know, your only best friend is your mother, and love is worthless, and you're a dirty little boy, stuff like that, you know, and just gave him a twisted sense of life. Like, if there's certain things he did that he had the perfect choice to, he was an adult, then he would be, you know, looked down upon by his mom, you know. So it's just really twisted his brain at a young age. And pretty crazy how you can shape a mind like that once you get a hold of it. You know, he really was faithful and loyal to his mom, and she just twisted his brain like a, you know, she sounds kind of manipulative. You know, like I said, she hated their dad because he became a drunk. You know, I don't know if he, just because his wife was a nut, maybe he became a drunk just to, you know, nullify some, I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe that guy, you know, they don't give a lot of information on the dad, but he might have been a complete piece of shit. I know he was a bit abusive here and there. On May 16th, Henry and Ed were burning away marsh vegetation on the property. The fire got way out of control, drawing the attention of the local fire department. By the end of the day, the fire having been extinguished and the firefighters gone, Ed reported his brother missing. With lanterns and flashlights, a search party searched for Henry, whose dead body was found lying face down. Apparently, he had been dead for some time, and it appeared that the cause of death was heart failure, since he had not been burned or injured otherwise. So, I'm sure there's always a question with that one. Did Ed Gein have something to do with it? Who knows? I mean, I don't, you know. 1873, George Philip Gein was born. 1878, Augusta Lurkey was born. 1901, Henry George Gein is born. August 27th, 1906, Ed Gein is born. Ed Gein is born to grocery store owners George and Augusta Gein in La Crosse County, Wisconsin. A mere 8 years later, 1914, Gain family moves to Plainfield. George and Augusta sell their grocery store in La Crosse County and move their family to Plainfield, Wisconsin. April 4th, 1940, Ed's father dies of heart failure at age of 66. A short 4 years later, Henry Gain dies. Ed's brother, Henry, dies of apparent asphyxiation due to smoke inhalation while he and Ed were burning brush on the property. December 29, 1945, Augusta Gain dies. Ed's mother dies at age 67 following several strokes. A lot of things really start to happen just if anywhere from like a year or a couple of years apart, you know, as things just gradually decline. 1947, Ed begins robbing graves. This is where the guy comes unglued because his whole family's gone. He's got no mother to guide him with all his, you know, with her sick, her just staunch religious thoughts and just crazy look at life and how you have to live to a standard that's just impossible to a child. Just see how it just shapes this kid's mind. So 1947, Ed begins robbing graves. Ed starts visiting local cemeteries at night to dig up the freshly buried remains of women who remind him of his mother. 1951, hunters vanish. Victor Travis and Ray Burgess disappear in Plainfield, leaving only a jacket and their dog behind in the woods near Gaines' property. December 8, 1954, Mary Hogan disappears. Ed shoots Mary Hogan at her bar in the town of Bancroft and takes her body back to his farm. Her disappearance remains unsolved until 1957, 3 years later. November 16, 1957, Bernice Warden missing. Investigating hardware store owner Bernice Warden's disappearance, police find her body in Ed Gein's house. He shot her in the head and took her home, where he gutted and beheaded her. November 16, 1957. After the gutted and decapitated body of Bernice Warden is found in his home. A mere 5 days later, November 21st, 1957, Ed Gain is arraigned in Washara County Court on one count of first-degree murder, where he enters a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. January 1958. Diagnosed with schizophrenia, Ed Gein is found unfit to stand trial and committed to Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane in Waupun, Wisconsin. Just over 3 months later, March 20th, 1958, house burns down. Ed Gein's house, rumored to become an attraction known as the House of Horrors, burns to the ground. 10 days later, March 30th, 1958, Gain Auction. A public auction is held to sell Ed Gein's property and possessions. Ghoul car attraction debuts. Ed Gein's car, purchased by Bunny Gibbons for $760 at the auction, makes its first public appearance as a sideshow attraction in the Outagamie County Fair in Seymour, Wisconsin. It was last seen later that summer at the Washington County Fair in Slinger before the sheriff shut it down. The car's whereabouts today are unknown. Almost 2 years later, May 1960, bones found. Human bones are discovered by men working on the Gain property. Almost 2 years later, May 1960, bones found. Human bones are discovered by men working on the Gain property. 1962, the remains recovered as evidence from Gaines' house, as well as bones later discovered on the property, are buried in an unmarked grave purchased by the state of Wisconsin in an undisclosed location, presumably in Plainfield Cemetery. November 7th, 1968, trial begins. Deemed mentally competent, Gaines' trial for the murder of Bernice Worden begins. A week later, November 14th, 1968, guilty. Judge Robert H. Golmer finds Ed Gaines guilty of murder of Bernice Worden. July 26, 1984, Ed Gaines dies. Ed Gaines dies at the age of 77 of respiratory failure due to a lung cancer, Mendota Mental Health Institute, and is buried in Plainfield Cemetery. June 2000, Ed Gaines' headstone is discovered missing from Plainfield Cemetery. May 2001, the missing tombstone is recovered in Seattle in the possession of Ed Gaines fan club founder Shane Bugby. April 4th, 2006, Mike Fisher, who inherited the Gaines family property from his grandfather, Emden Shea, listed the land for sale on eBay for $250,000 under the heading Ed Gaines Farm, The Real Deal. 4 days later, eBay removes the listing of Ed Gaines' property for violating a policy against the sale of murder memorabilia. 9 years later, February 28, 2015, a cauldron supposedly bought at the 1958 auction of Gaines' possessions and said to have been used by Gaines to hold human entrails is bought at a Wisconsin auction by Ghost Adventure star Zach Bagans. April 2017, cauldron appears on TV. Ed Gaines' supposedly haunted cauldron makes its television debut on Zach Bagans' new series, Travel Channel series, Deadly Possessions. October 2017, Haunted Museum opens. Zach Bagans opens Haunted Museum in Las Vegas with Ed Gaines' cursed cauldron on display. April 9th, 2021. Paranormal Investigation premieres on Discovery Plus. Ed Gaines, the real psycho, Cindy Kaza, and Steve Shippey investigate the Gaines property. Knives bought at an auction, Gaines' jail cell, and believe they make contact with Ed's ghost. October 31st, 2021. The Paranormal Files episode premieres. YouTube channel The Paranormal Files debuts the investigation of knives once owned by Gaines as well as the jail cell. As you can see, as I finish the timeline here, that is the end of it. You can see how this, the interest deepens with certain types of people on what had gone on in Ed's life, Ed's family life, family and everything else. I just don't see how, up to this point, what goes on with, like, memorabilia, artifacts, whatever you want to call them, old things that have to do with Ed Gaines have any significance to today. I mean, the guy was born basically a century ago. But that's my take on that section of the show. This is the end of part one. And I thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Share it with your friends. I wanted to credit all this information for this timeline section to houseofgain.com and the great attention they took to put this page together. Thank you very much. Hello, I just wanted to jump in and say that is the end of part one. Part two is coming at you pretty quick here. And I'm just about ready to be done with editing it, so I hope you guys are excited for it. This is just a quick little overview and a little bit timeline, kind of see what Endgame was up to. The next one's going to be the story, going to have a little music bed to it and some sweetness and stuff like that, just to liven up the story. I hope you guys appreciate what's going on so far. The next part's going to grab you and going to grab you by the guts, man. We'll see you next time. Thank you. Thank you very much. Again, I do want to say that when it comes to people like this, talking about Ed Gein, it's subject matter. These are not people that I, you know, glorify or condone what they do. I mean, it's just disgusting. Just straight up disgusting. So that's why I'm, you know, pointing at this kind of information, because in my opinion, it's like, in my life, I'm looking to do more positive things and enrich people's lives and not tear them down. So if this looks at all like a thing where I'm just trying to be more negative, not at all, not at all. I'm all about just being positive and doing positive things, and everybody lift each other up, because that's what it's about, really, in my opinion. Just everybody lift each other up, and you know, somebody's a little behind or something, or a little lagging, give them a hand, you know, grab them by the hand and help them out. You know, we're all in this together, really, is what it's about. Not this division crap you see on TV. Turn the damn TV off. It's about togetherness. That's the way I look at things. So, anyway, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Very soon we'll have part two. Like I said, it will be a much deeper story. A little more to it. I put a little extra care on it. That's why it's taking a little bit. So, I appreciate your patience. And I'll see you next time. Thank you.